If you are looking for even more help and guidance on your breakup, I have a few different options for you to take your healing to the next level. I have 4 different online courses depending on what stage of the breakup that you're in, from beginning all the way into moving on after heartbreak. Or you can bundle all of my courses together and use the code PODCAST to get $25 off my course bundle. I also have my 30-day no contact challenge to help hold you accountable in going no contact with your ex. And we have our free Facebook group, Healing Hearts Club, where you can connect with other people going through breakups all over the world. To learn more about any of these resources, head to the show notes where you can learn more about my courses, take the quiz to figure out which course is best for you, or join the Facebook group. And don't forget to use the code PODCAST to get $25 off my course bundle. Welcome to the Heal Your Heartbreak podcast with your host, Breakup Bestie, aka me, Kendra. Breakups are hard, but you don't have to do it alone. Each week, I will be taking you through a different topic as it relates to breaking up, healing from heartbreak, growing in your single life, dating, and getting back into happier and healthier relationships. The goal of this show is to provide support, hope, tips, and to remind you that above all, this too shall pass. Welcome back to another episode of the Heal Your Heartbreak podcast. It is a solo episode today. And a few weeks ago, we did the episode on the aftershocks, or the unexpected, like, lasting effects of breakups. And this led me to realize that we haven't done an episode on the initial shock of a breakup. And I think talking about the initial shock of a breakup is important for a number of reasons. The first one is, again, I like to normalize what you're feeling right now. So if you're someone who just went through a breakup, I'm going to detail what the initial shock might feel like. Hopefully allow you to feel a little less alone. And I think it's very difficult to lay out like an exact timeline or step-by-step path of what you'll experience when going through a breakup. But I think when you hear someone like me talk about, okay, this is probably what it feels like, it just makes you feel like, okay, I'm on the road, which means I'm moving forward, which means I have a certain trajectory, and that trajectory is to eventually not feel sad about this anymore. So if you're just going through a breakup, hopefully this can help normalize it. But the second part is, I think one of the reasons it's important to talk about the initial shock of a breakup is because sometimes the initial shock can delay the quote unquote real pain until a little bit later on. So, and this will look different for everyone. Sometimes people will feel the brunt of it right away. But for a lot of people, it will come, like, the brunt of the pain will come after the initial shock of the breakup. So if it's been a little bit and it feels like, okay, the first month was kind of okay, and then all of a sudden it really hit, this episode is also going to be for you, because it doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with you, or it doesn't mean that you're not doing the right things to move on from the breakup. It just means that the initial shock of the breakup probably took away, kind of padded the heartbreak a little bit for you. And once that's done, then it can be a lot harder. So I think those are the main reasons why it's important to talk about this. And again, I can't necessarily cover every single breakup scenario of what it looks like when you first go through something, but I will do as best as I can to be as general as possible. So when we're talking about shock, it's like, okay, if it was the breakup a blindside or not? And obviously, if you had no idea the breakup was coming and then it just out of the blue happened, that's going to be incredibly shocking to have every thought that you're going to be with this person. Maybe you had like imminent plans coming up, talked about marriage and kids and all of those things, and all of a sudden it's like, I actually don't want to be with you anymore. That's going to produce the biggest shock value. But I also want to say, even if you did have a little bit of an inkling that it was going to happen, it still will be shocking. I think any kind of breakup. And I will also add, even if you're the one who did the breakup, it's still a shock to the system. If it's not like a surprise shock, it still is a shock to the system to sever ties with someone that you love and care about. So what happens right away? I think you go into like fight, flight, freeze, fawn, all of those different very primal things that can happen. You won't have the right words to say right away. And I do think that's why a lot of people like to have kind of a revisiting conversation with their ex, because the shock of the breakup prevents you from saying what you probably would have said if you had more time to think about it or if you were in the right state of mind. So the shock at first is going to be like, I don't even know what to say. That's why I like to say that sometimes people say things during breakups that they don't really mean, because again, it's your body is in that state of shock. And then you have the conversation, the person leaves, you feel lost, you feel angry. There's just so many things that are going to happen right away. And the hard part of breakups is you might have to go to work that day or the next day. You might like, you just have to resume somewhat of a normal life. And I do think with a breakup being traumatic, which I'd say most of them are, your brain, your body is all going to go into this protective mode of, okay, I still have to do these things. So we're not going to fully acknowledge what's happening. Most of us don't have the privilege to fully fall apart right after a breakup. As we get into adulthood, we have bills to pay. We have jobs that we need to maintain. As adults, we just do not have the luxury of being able to fully fall apart. So I do think we go into this protective mode. So that is part of the shock. And of course, there's going to be moments of falling apart. I'm not here to say that like everyone can just resume normal activities. There are going to be cases where you do take the day off of work to just completely fall apart. But I do believe for most people, there is somewhat of a protective factor. There are also going to be instances where, and I find this especially with people coming out of like long-term marriages, is a lot of the mourning took place before the actual breakup happened. And then that will also, if you were the one that ended the relationship, there was a lot of mourning ahead of time. So I've encountered people who say, I feel okay right after the breakup. Is that normal? And it's yes. That is normal. That could just be, again, the protective factor. That could be that you did some of the mourning ahead of time. But for whatever reason, I will say that it does seem to be that in the beginning, it might not feel as intense. And that's a good thing. Sometimes, and I use this example a lot, but when I was doing EMDR therapy, I remember my therapist saying that it's very difficult, if not impossible, to tackle something when it's at a 10 out of 10. It's so overwhelming that you kind of do have to put it on the back burner until it becomes a little smaller. And then we can actually talk about curing that trauma. So I think that, again, that's like our brain's incredible way of saying, this is too much for you to handle right now. And that's why I talk about just doing whatever you can in the beginning to keep your head above water. Don't worry about tackling the issue at hand at first. Like, your only job in the beginning is just making it through the days. I think another thing that happens, and there is almost this amount of like novelty, probably not the best word, but it is like this big break in your routine in the beginning where you might be staying at friends' houses. Hopefully you have this like crew of support that's circling around you. So sometimes it does just feel like a break from reality. I remember the week after my breakup, it was like, okay, went to the movies one night with a friend, stayed the night at one friend's house, had dinner at another friend's house. Like, people are really like, okay, I'm here, roll my sleeves up. How can I help you? Again, that will also help with that initial period. And then as time goes on, friends go back to their own lives and stuff. So I do think there is like a little bit of a novelty in the beginning around it. So that can also be another factor in what that initial shock stage looks like. And then I also think there's a lot of mental rationalization that's going to happen in the beginning, whether that is we're going to get back together, like you hang on to that hope of they're going to change their mind. Like I'm going to hear from them any minute now and they're going to say that they made a mistake and that they want to still be together. Or your mind just convinces you like my ex is just on vacation. They're not here right now, but they'll be back. So there is just going to be a lot of mental rationalization. And it's highly, highly, highly common that you have not grasped the fact that the relationship is fully over. And that's not to say that that's not good. Sometimes I think the hope that people hold on to is protective in a way. 6 months down the road, if you still feel like that and you haven't taken any steps to move on because of the fact that you think they're going to come back, then we need to talk. But in the very beginning, I think that's okay because it gives you something to hold on to again, so you're not completely falling apart. So I do think your brain, whether consciously or subconsciously, you're going to be reaching for things that make it not feel totally real.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. You often hear me say on this show that breakups don't get the credit they deserve. And while I believe as a society, we're becoming so much more aware of the importance of mental health and recovery from things like breakups, we still have a long way to go. When people are afraid to ask for help from their breakup, they're not bypassing the pain. They're just keeping it to themselves and making it so much harder. Or I think back to my fear of coming forward and saying that I needed help with my addiction, how different my life would have looked had I not talked about it. Therapy has been such a huge help through all of my hardships, both big and small, and has been the catalyst for me to not only come forward and admit that I need help, but also to be able to see things differently. BetterHelp has over 10 years of experience matching people with the right therapist from their diverse network of more than 30,000 licensed therapists with a wide range of specialties. BetterHelp is fully online, making therapy affordable and convenient, serving over 5 million people worldwide. We're all better with help. Visit BetterHelp.com/heartbreak to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/heartbreak.
One of the most frustrating things for me is when I feel like I'm taking really good care of myself and doing everything right, sleep, water, movement, eating well, and I still feel so blah. Bloating, low energy, irritability. It feels like there had to be something more going on. And that's where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. It's super easy. Just answer a few questions about what you're going through and where you're at in life. And the best part is after taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help balance your hormones and start feeling better. I took the quiz and found out that I'm likely going through estrogen dominance and not metabolizing it well, which can explain my chronic fatigue, overwhelm, bloating, and anxiety. And the quiz recommended Hormone Harmony, which is an herbal formula that fine-tunes the hormonal system. It doesn't just help with estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. It also helps with stress hormones like cortisol, which is a little troublemaker. We often think we need big lifestyle changes to feel better, but in reality, small habits like taking Hormone Harmony every day can have a huge impact on how we feel. Ready to start feeling like yourself again? Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today to find the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. And for a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code HEARTBREAK at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code HEARTBREAK for 15% off today.
My life has felt so stressful lately, and finding balance has been something to work really hard at, which is why I love having ashwagandha in my toolkit to help with my stress. It's been used for centuries to help manage stress and promote relaxation. Goalie makes wellness easy and delicious with their ashwagandha gummies, and they're America's number one ashwagandha brand, trusted by millions. They're chewable, made with high quality ingredients, and packed with essential B vitamins so you can feel your best without any hassle. Goalie ashwagandha gummies are made with KSM-66, a clinically studied form of ashwagandha known to lower your cortisol levels, which is the hormone your body releases when you're stressed. And lately, it has felt like I have pure cortisol coursing through my body, so this has been such a big help for me. It also includes vitamin D to support mood, immune health, and overall wellness.
No pills, powders, or mixing, just convenient on-the-go stress support and a delicious gummy. Head to goalie.com now and get 50% off Goalie's ashwagandha gummies today only using code GOALIE50. Try them risk-free with Goalie's money-back guarantee because wellness should be simple, effective, and delicious. Don't wait. Visit goalie.com and use code GOALIE50 today.
Another thing that can happen is sometimes like one very specific emotion will come out really strong. I think anger tends to be the one that happens quickly. And some people do have issue getting to anger in their breakup, but maybe like right in the beginning, it is going to come on. And anger is productive, but I do think it can also be kind of a distracting emotion. So right when it happens, you might latch on to one specific feeling and kind of ignore the other things going on. So maybe you just feel angry at like how it happened. So that's kind of all you can talk about in the beginning. I'm just thinking of different stories of like, they broke up with me over text, or they didn't even have the decency to do this, or whatever that looks like. So those kind of emotions can be, again, probably a protective distraction of what's happening. And then the other thing is the logistics. This is especially if you guys live together, if you were formally married. Sometimes you can't even really get to the meat of the emotions because you're solely dealing with how do we separate utility bills? What do we do about the lease? Are we going to sell the house? I mean, if lawyers are involved, going through all that. So sometimes you just have to like knock all these things out. This isn't, you know, the exact same thing, but I have someone very close to me who just lost a family member, and they haven't even had the time to grieve because it's just solely been like lawyers, contracts, stopping bills, all of those kinds of things. So that's another thing that's going to happen in that initial shock time is you're just trying to figure out, like, how do I get their stuff back? And these logistics can be small, or it can be as easy as, like, what do I do with my Instagram photos? Do I, like, archive them? Do I delete them? Do I keep them up? What do I do with the photos on my phone? There's just so many things, again, that are, like, intertwined. Maybe you have to go through your calendar and be like, okay, well, we had this planned. We had this double date planned. So now I got to reach out to this person and say, like, hey, turns out we broke up. We can't do this. So there's probably, like, a lot of, again, just like logistical things that you have to do. And logistics and emotions, they don't go together very well. So that's another thing that will probably be distracting you from the emotions. So I'm sure I'm missing some other things, but I do think those are probably the most common elements that happen right in the beginning. And again, I'm talking about probably the first 30 days, maybe 60 days. And obviously, that's going to be longer if you're going through selling a house, divorce, all of those kinds of things. And then I think what tends to happen and probably why it does get harder after this period is all of those things start to go away. If we start with what we ended, the logistics all get sorted out. And then it's like, okay, I don't really have any more tasks associated with the breakup. So now I just have things that aren't as objective or black and white. So now it's the harder things. I feel sad. So that starts to fade. The hope that maybe you were hanging on to, or the belief that any day now they're going to call after 30 days, after 60 days, that starts to feel less likely. And or maybe you are just at a place where you're like, I'm ready to accept this. And to say you're ready to accept it doesn't mean you want to, but just I don't want to live in this place of I think they're coming back. So the reality of the situation really starts to sink in. That feeling, or your mind convincing you that your ex is just on vacation or this is just a temporary thing, that again starts to fade after a month. And the thing is, you really just start feeling your ex's absence from your life, because most likely for the first while, every day you're encountering something that you would have done with your ex or that you typically did with your ex. And so all of those things start to add up and it starts to feel like, oh, shoot. Okay. I'm like really feeling their absence. And there's going to be a lot of firsts that come up. So that part of the reality is going to start sinking in. And then when it comes to like the novelty will wear off where it's like, okay, I probably need to start staying at my own house now. My friends are returning back to their lives. So I don't really have people reaching out to me all the time asking how I'm doing. And you may have the feeling that, and this isn't to say that this is true, but I just know the feeling of the whole world is moving on and I'm still here dealing with this breakup. I'm still heartbroken. And it feels like everyone else is just going on with their lives. So that's a very isolating and lonely feeling. And it's very painful and it will magnify the already heartbroken feelings that you have. So I think the polar opposites of those different things, I think it does tend to make month 2, 3, 4, or maybe months 3, 4, 5 more painful than months 1 and 2 after the breakup. Because again, just all the different things that are going on consciously, subconsciously. And again, none of this means that you're doing anything wrong. Even if your breakup happened yesterday and you sat down and you said, I'm going to commit to grasping the reality of this right away, I don't even think you could. There's a reason breakups take so long. There are just so many layers to it. So no matter what, it's going to take time to work through all of that. And think of the shock as, again, as protective. Don't worry about, people will say like, well, how do I make sure I'm not doing too much distracting? I want to make sure I'm actually tending to the ability to move on. In the beginning, don't worry about that. Again, like your only job is to make it through. And another example that I see of this is sometimes people right away will hop on a dating app and it won't feel like that big of a deal. But again, I think that's the shock. That's the novelty part of it. And then, you know, a month in, they're like, oh, I can't even think about being on a dating app. I'm still so heartbroken. So again, that's like sometimes people will do things really impulsively right away because they're in that like novelty shock stage. And then as time goes on, they're like, oh, wait, I'm actually really sad about this. And I cannot picture myself dating anyone. And then it takes months and months for them to get back to that spot. This doesn't mean you're doing anything wrong. And also keep in mind, like if you find out your ex is dating right away, just know that this might be part of their shock process as well, which is why I always recommend not keeping tabs on how your ex is dealing with the breakup because we just don't know what they're going through. And then on the flip side, if you listen to this and you're like, this wasn't me at all. I completely fell apart months 1 and 2. And by 3, I was feeling better. That's great. That will also happen too. But I think from my personal experience and just from talking to people, I feel like people tend to find my podcast and my Instagram. They tend to really go looking for help, not in the first 30 days, because the first 30 days is that shock time. And maybe you're really leaning on your friends or you're really leaning on those kind of healthy distractions. So hopefully that resonated with you guys. If that's your case right now, I don't want you to feel like, oh my gosh, at some point, all this pain is just going to hit me all at one time. That's not what's going to happen. It's not like you get to day 61 and it's like, all right, here, now you're acknowledging your heartbreak and you are in an incredible amount of pain. It'll happen subtly. And again, none of this is on any kind of exact time frame. There's not. I wish there could be like a 10-step process of getting through a breakup, but it's just not the case. So as you're navigating the process, keep this episode in mind and be like, oh, okay, now I understand why I was able to be on dating apps right away and now I can't. Or now I understand why I felt hope that we would get back together and now all of a sudden I'm in a ton of pain. So you're exactly where you're supposed to be. You're dealing with this as best you can with the information and the tools that you have today and just keep taking it a day at a time. Your feelings will change over time. Your feelings will pass over time. They'll get lighter over time, but just, you are right where you're supposed to be. So I'll see you guys back here again next week.
I hope you enjoyed today's show. If you loved it, I hope you'll leave a review and share with your friends. If you're not already following me on Instagram, head to @yourbreakupbestie, where I'm sharing new content almost every day.
to join our Facebook group, Healing Hearts Club, where you can connect with thousands of people from all over the world going through breakups, head to the link in the show notes. And don't forget to check out my online courses for more in-depth help through your healing journey. I always end these episodes the same way, reminding you to be nice to yourself, stay connected with loved ones, and the biggest reminder is that this too shall pass. I promise.